All right, well, I'm glad everyone's here. This is our youth meeting, young adults meeting, whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry we didn't get your pizza this year. We will do it next year. And we just want to do a simple meeting this time. I know we've had lots of services, and the feel of this week is fellowship. And so we didn't want to have a service like praise and worship and all that. We just wanted to have some time. So what I want to do is I'm going to teach for a few minutes on some of the practical things that I believe will help every young man and young woman walk into their calling and succeed. How many know they're called? Hold their hand up. I want to see how many. Okay, wait, hold your hand up anyway because you are called. God has a purpose for you. And I've watched, well, I'm 43 now. I started in ministry when I was in full-time ministry when I was 19 years old. And I've pastored for about 3 years. I ran a Bible college. I preached. I did everything, you know, pretty much everything there's to do I've done and on this road of mine. And I've dealt with a lot of people, met a lot of people who wanted to please God, who wanted to fulfill their calling, who wanted to walk in anointing and walk in power. And I have to tell you, most of them have not made it. And even though they wanted to, most of them have not lived a life of serving God. Now, many of them are good people. They go to church. They're nice family people. But if you studied your life, you found out, you'll find that most of them, most people, end up just living a nice life, going to church. How many know what I'm talking about? All right, now if you don't hold your hand up, you don't respond, I get ornery. All right, so how many know what I'm talking about? Good job. So I'm going to give you my five rules that I teach every person who lets me on how to become a man or woman of God. Doesn't matter where you start. If you practice these five things, all right, every day, you'll wake up one day and see that God is blessing you, God is rewarding you, and you're walking in your calling. Okay? Now, these five things are what I believe. Now, there's other avenues, so I'm not saying these are the only ways. I'm saying these are what I believe. If you ask me, how do I become a man of God? I'm going to give you, or a woman of God, I'm going to give you the same five rules that I give every person who lets me talk to them. Now, I'm not preaching today. I'm kind of speaking from my heart what I would tell someone if they asked me privately. See, as a minister, you're invited in so far into people's lives. Okay? Some people invite you in from the pulpit, and they want to hear what you have to say. So you preach to them. But you don't go after them necessarily in certain areas because they haven't invited you in. You know, if you go to someone's house and they got the TV on too loud and you're like, I'm going to turn your TV off. It's too loud. See, you're out of order there, aren't you? Hey, that's my TV. I'll have as loud as I want. Thank you very much. But in your own house, you're allowed to make those decisions. So these are the five things. And what I'll do is I'm going to teach for a little bit. Then I'll have a few questions. And then I want us just to fellowship a little bit and get to know each other. Okay? Is that a fair deal? Okay. So this is a time chart I have. Let me have a pen. This is a time chart of your week. Now, what is it that most people fail at as Christians? Why? What's the number one reason that people don't fulfill their calling? The number one fruit is the result of not taking enough time to focus on God and to obey God is lack of character issues. See, lack of character means it's the same reason you get fired at your job. If you don't show up when you say you'll show up, what's going to happen at work? Someone tell me. I'm scheduling you in for 9 o'clock this morning. Are you going to be there? Yes. Okay. So if you show up at 10 o'clock, what's going to happen? Right. If you show up, if you don't show up for 2 weeks in a row, what's going to happen? You can talk back to me. If you keep not showing up when you're supposed to show up, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired, aren't you? Right? So the number one reason people don't make it in their fault calling of God is the same reason people don't make it in the normal world. Not faithful. You don't do your job like you're supposed to do. You do it the way you want instead of the bosses want, you know. Say you worked at Starbucks, and they say, okay, this is how you make a caramel macchiato. This is what Pastor Dave likes, a triple grande, triple venti caramel macchiato. Extra hot. And you get hired at Starbucks, you say, you know, I think the caramel macchiatos need more caramel. And so you're there pumping five shots of caramel instead of the... How many shots of caramel in a caramel macchiato? Four pumps of vanilla. Oh, it's a fake. So you're making a fake caramel macchiato, and you're pumping in 10 shots of vanilla. You think it needs a little bit of chocolate in there. And they tell, what are they going to tell you? This is how we make it. And you say, okay, the next five guys who get their caramel macchiatos, they're all different. What's going to happen to you? They're going to stop asking you to do it. And what I'm trying to get to is this. The simple things that qualify you for God to use you, everyone around you should see them, not just God. I remember... you hear someone say, hey, it's a, I can dress how I want, when I want, because I'm free. You know, and you're like, hey, buddy, your tank top shirt doesn't quite fit in church. Oh, hey, man, I'm free. God looks on the inward, man looks on the outward, and my inward is awesome. Well, that scripture is true. That was God saying, hey, God looks on the inward, but man looks on the outward. See, man will always look on your outward. So if you want people to respect you, if you're on the beach witnessing on the beach and you wear a tank top and shorts, of course, because you wear a suit and tie, no one's going to want to listen to you. Well, the same thing here. You will disqualify yourself from people listening to what's inside of you because you don't care what they think. That's pride. And I think that's what I want to beat up tonight is pride. That says I don't have to submit to standards or rules or lifestyles because it's me and God. And you will disqualify yourself from being received because of that attitude that says, I get to do what I want when I want. If anyone here in this group of people during this conference should be on time and excited about services and engaged in worship, it should be you guys. And I've watched it. We are all talking about how impressed we are with how mature everyone is and how the maturity of the young people here. But there's an attitude that runs through all young generations that says, I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. So the things that will disqualify you are lack of character issues, not showing up on time. You know, we have one guy, I remember he'd be late all the time. And he'd say, well, you know, I can do what I want, you know. I said, well, I thought you wanted a preacher. Oh, I am going to be a preacher. I said, oh, okay, so you're just not going to show up for church. Well, I'm not preaching. I said, well, what if you are preaching one day and they schedule to come preach? Are you going to call the pastor and say, oh, you know, the pastor will call you on the phone? Hello? Hello, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just hanging out, slept in, You know, I went to sleep late last night. My alarm clock didn't go off. Pastor said, well, we're all here waiting for you to preach. Always remember, if you're not faithful in the little, will you be faithful in the much? No. And this is a ministry that provides for you the path into God and the path into His power. But because you are coming out, many of you, out of religion, you don't have a good church to go to, if I can say that, it's important that you also understand that you have to grow in your character. Waiting for the Holy Ghost to tell you to be on time is not okay. Waiting for the Holy Ghost to tell you to don't sleep with each other unless you're married is not okay. Can I keep preaching? Waiting for the Holy Ghost to tell you to act and conquer your character issues is not okay. There's standards that you should know instinctively to live by. And excuses are not okay because they will disqualify you. I find that if you make an excuse one time, then you're justifying making an excuse for the next time. All right. So I'm going to give you the five things that I teach everyone who listens to me. Now, you don't have to accept these. If God showed you something else, then I'm perfectly okay with that. These are just the five things that I teach every young person, every adult, every person who asks me, how can I be a man of God? How can I be in my ministry or my calling, whatever your calling may be? How do I have success every day with following God? Okay? Now, this is what we call time. This is your weekly time right here. This belongs to you. This is what you're in charge of. This is probably the only thing you're in charge of. All right? Is the time you have during a week. Now, the first thing, I have my assistant here, Brittany White, come up. And the first thing we're going to talk about, number one, is work. W-O-R-K. Now, I know that's not a very spiritual word, but it's a very important word. Because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't. Wow, that's pretty weak. If you don't work, you don't. Okay. So, how much should I work? What direction of work do I take? Now, you're young adults. There's a transition for every young adult to come out of the home where they're taken care of and go into the place where they're taking care of their needs. Right? They're taking the responsibility of their needs. They're walking. I remember the weight of caring for yourself falling on my shoulders, and having to learn how to give that to God. So the reason why work is number one is because it is what you're going to do the rest of your life, is work. Now, there's some jobs you can work in things that you like, and it doesn't seem like work, but it's still work. You got to show up on time. You have to be there on time. Pastor Dave, when I first moved here, I tried to beat him down to the prayer closet because he would pray in his office because that was his work. Well, it was my work too because I was full-time ministry. And I'd race down here. I remember it started at 6 o'clock. He was in there praying. I thought, well, I'll beat him tomorrow. I got down here at 5:30. He was in his office praying. I said, no problem. I'm going to get up at 5. I got down here at 5. He's in his office praying. Now, see, you know how you can get lazy and say, well, I'm just a little tired today. I think I'm going to rest my flesh. See, no matter what you do in life, it becomes work. I've been in ministry now for 24 years. And as exciting as things that used to really excite me, preaching, getting invited to preach, traveling, now it's not so exciting. Okay, it's not bad. I love what I do. But when I go be away from my family for 10 days, oh, you're in Brazil and you're preaching revival. Yeah, but my wife and my kids are at home while I'm doing that. I miss them. I'd rather be with them most of the time than being out doing the preaching. It's work, see? And you have to decide that this is what life is for the rest of your life. Growing up means you take responsibility for the things in your life that will disqualify you from God choosing you. And if you do it to a person, lack of character, you'll also do it for him. Now, if you fail at lack of character, there's nothing wrong with failing. We all fail. We all struggle. That's part of life, overcoming things. You know, I was raised with no discipline. I had no bedtime growing up. I had no supervision. I never was made to do my homework. That's how I was raised. So when I got to be 18, I had to deal with things to put things into me that were going to disqualify me. Are you still with me? Okay. So this is the one thing you have time of. Now, what I would suggest, depending on your age and the responsibility you have, there's more. How many know there's more responsibility for someone with two kids than with someone who's single? So when you're single, this is the best time to get things straight. So work is something that should take a large portion, of your week. How much do I work? Well, I suggest you work enough to pay your bills and meet your needs. That work at your age, for most of you, isn't a career choice unless God's given you direction. Work for you shouldn't be about building your life unless God's given you direction. I believe work at your age should be about paying your bills enough to give you free time to do the rest of the good stuff that's going to feed into your future and into your calling. So this is work. Work enough. Yeah, work enough to pay your bills. Give my lovely assistant a hand, if you would, please. If you're out of school, you don't need to pray about work. You just need to work. Okay? So you're going to work enough to pay your bills, and you're going to live within your means. So that means don't get a $18,000 car and say, I can't have time to pray. I have to work. See, make your means as little as possible. You know, there's a time in when we were full-time and my wife fed me, her, our son, on $125 a month on groceries. We didn't get to go out to eat. We didn't get to go to the movies. We didn't get to do much anything. Because that's all the money we could afford. That was all that was coming in. I thank God I learned how to live within my means so I could follow God. You know how many people, if God came to them, said, you, it's time. I'm calling you to Hawaii to go minister for 2 weeks. They'd have to say, oh, I can't. I got all these bills. I got a TV on my credit card. I got a car on a loan. I said, I can't go. I just can't because I'm in bondage to my TV. Live within your means. Make it a lifestyle. All right, I'm trying not to get too teachy here. Work enough to pay your bills. Live within your means. And this is your work. Number two is what we at the prayer center might call spiritual growth. This is a time you take in your week to practice the tools that you learned here at the prayer center. Someone tell me some of the tools. You all know them really good, right? Brain tongues, worship, meditation, simulation, confession. What's the other one? Fasting. Oh, we don't say that one around here. This is my service. We don't say that word. So spiritual growth. This is number two. How many can say that that's the most important thing in your life? To make sure, because if you're not spending time in your spiritual growth, then you're going to hate yourself 10 years from now because nothing's going to change in your life. But you know what takes people out of this, having time to do this? Let's say you set a good amount of time. Probably not as much as work, but we'll say pretty close to work, okay? Now, here's spiritual growth. Now, let's say that you're spending time in spiritual growth, and you decide to take yourself out of work so that you have more time for spiritual growth. That sounds great for about a week until a paycheck doesn't come in. And when a paycheck doesn't come in and your bills start piling up, what's going to happen? They come repossess your car if you got it on debt. You're not going to eat. The electricity goes out. Your guy who's renting your house from comes and kicks you out. Now what? Now you're in desperation. Why? Because you took yourself out of work. Work supplies the time for spiritual growth. All right, number three. Number three, I'll call it church. But how many of you have a good church that you go to? Hold your hand up. All right, so I don't want to call it church. I want to call it learning from others. Because you don't have to have a church to learn from others. I'm not going to try to push you into a church that isn't healthy, just to say you go to church. But because you don't have a church that's not healthy doesn't mean you don't get to learn from others. Okay? Because there are many things you can learn from others. Right? The young women can learn from the old women. Right? Who better to learn how to be a mother yet from her mother? So, learning from others is for, number one, we'll call education. Okay? Education. That would be, for most of you then, if you're in the Tulsa area, I would expect you to come to church here. And for those of you who have badgered long enough, what do I expect when you go to church here? Show up on time. Right? Be at the services. Don't leave until you're dismissed. It's amazing to me how many people, when they have an altar call, all of a sudden have to go somewhere. Like, I got to get to the restaurant 10 minutes early. That's just their soul. That's just their natural soul trying to get something. Learning from others. Okay, education. So for most of you, I would say that spending time every week listening to some of the teachings from the people that have fed you, Pastor Dave, Gary, some of the teachings from the conference, but, you know, a healthy dose of, because education, I can't tell you how much of the revelation that I have about God has been built on other man's time in the prayer closet. You know, Pastor Dave will spend 20 years and get one revelation. I get it because I listen to it. It's like, that's worth $10 right there. Okay. It's important that you put time in your week for education, as well as spiritual growth. Education from a human being. And I say that because the Holy Ghost will teach you in your spiritual growth time. So we're going to put some time there. Okay? The other one I want here is instruction. Now, I know we're not supposed to guide you, but it's important that you find someone that you respect who's on this path that you have to talk to, that you have to learn from, that you have to give you healthy instructions. I have needed in my youth, especially, not now that I'm an adult so much, but in my youth, I needed someone to give me advice when I didn't know what to do. I needed someone to kick me in the rear when I was being lazy or fleshing out or stupid. I remember there was a girl that I was dating and I broke up with, and she wanted to get back together with me, but this was years later. I was dating Christy, my wife, and I went through this struggle. And my pastor came up to me and said, "Alan, you're stupid if you don't marry Christy. Are you an idiot?" I needed that little nudge, just because you wouldn't get married. It's a little awkward that's an awkward time of your life. Thank God I'm not your age, by the way. So to make yourself open to instruction from people that you respect is very important. Not just the nice instruction. Not just the, "I want the pastor who just loves me. I just get around him and he just, oh, you're so nice, you're such a good." I want someone to help me become a man of God. Someone who loves me enough to get into my business. You know how unhealthy it is when no one's in your business? You know how unhealthy that is? Your flesh can trick you into all kinds of things. And at your age, there's little mistakes that don't really matter much, but there's some big mistakes that can really ruin your life. Just like, boom. I can't tell you how many people I know who, as virgins, had sex one night and got pregnant. Just had one rough night, gave in, thought, okay, all right, I'm sorry, I repent. They repented, they got over it, okay. And then a month later, they're pregnant. It's like, well, you can't fix that. That's not a mistake that you can just, that's a life-changing mistake. Who you marry, I'm not going to marry some guy. Well, you may say that, but you spend enough, girls are nuts, you spend enough time with the wrong guy, you'll fall in love with him. You'll start thinking, I married one girl, she came to me, she said, "That guy that just came, the youth, he's the ugliest guy I've ever seen." That's what she told me that. 1 week later, she's walking down the hallway holding his hand. "Isn't he so cute? He's just so cute." Girls are nuts. Thank God, because we'd never get married if they weren't half crazy. So it's healthy for you to have someone look at you and say, "Excuse me, that guy does not have a job. His car has 3 tires on it. You're paying for the restaurant bills. What's wrong with you?" Everyone needs a pastor, someone who you allow into your business to mess with your business when you're young. Because as much as you know God and as smart as you are, you're not smart enough. The best thing that I can give you is from my experience of my mistakes and other people's mistakes, so you don't have to make the same mistakes. Someone said, "I don't have a testimony. I was a virgin when I got married. I went to church my whole life. I just don't have a testimony." Like this one. This one's been around, done this, done that. They have a testimony. The church likes when they testify. They never asked me to testify because I got nothing to give. Well, that's the best testimony. You know the best way to learn? Someone says the best way to learn is from your mistakes. No, the best way to learn is from someone else's mistakes. See, wisdom is when you learn without the damage. Okay, that's simply what wisdom is. I can tell you, don't touch that stove. It's hot. And my that's the difference between my son and my daughter. See, my son, what's hot? "Don't touch it, Harrison. You'll burn your finger." Where? See where the stove, the top of the stove is red hot and burning? Yeah. "Don't touch it because you'll burn your finger." And you'll see him when I'm not looking. He'll be like, trying to figure out if it's real or not, right? Well, what's going to happen one day when I'm not looking to catch him? He's going to go, you're going to hear the scream. "Ah!" And he'll come right on the corner with a burnt finger or a burnt hand. Because that's my boy. He has to learn by experience. Ava, if you say, "My little daughter, Ava, that's hot, don't touch it," she'll go, "Okay." Both of them learned the same lesson, but one had to go through pain to learn it. The other one used wisdom. Wisdom was when you take the opinion of someone you respect and say, okay, I don't quite understand that. I don't quite know the whole why you're telling me that, but I trust you to speak truth into my life because you love me. So therefore, I choose to learn without pain. That is taking instruction. God will give you someone if you ask Him to. You don't have to wait for God to give you someone, but it's good to ask God. Say, who can I have that I can look up to speak into my life? See, that's why a lot of people get married. There's things that you go through. You don't have to go through that alone. You get married and you're having a hard time, and if you're isolated, if you got yourself isolated where there's no one that you allow into your business, you will go through years of struggle that could be fixed in one conversation with someone who said, oh yeah, me and my wife went through that. this is what I did. And oh, okay. It's great. There's amazing how much pain you can save yourself by opening yourself up to let someone pastor or speak into your life who's in your business. A pastor is someone who's in people's business. That's a pastor. Okay? All right. So this would be for education. Am I boring you too bad today? Oh, you're so kind. That's why we love you so much. Now, number four. This is called serving. Now, these are instructions I give everyone. Serving. Serving, I believe, is especially powerful because it makes you obligated to things outside of yourself. How boring to live your whole life for yourself. I only serve where it's nice. I only serve when it's easy. I'm only available, your phone is only rings from the people that won't, they're going to give me something. Hello, you give me a new car? All right, yes, I'm the man of God. I'm ready. Living your life for God means you never get to do what you want. Now, when you deal with that and settle with that, then you'll enjoy life. You never win with God. This one point right there, let me just show you. You know what this is right here? That's a target. This is the one thing that every person wins or loses in their walk with God, in fulfilling their calling, is the breaking of their will. That doesn't come by a prayer line. It doesn't come from a switch. It comes from submitting yourself to God. That your life is not your own. This is where religion's built, where I can serve God and do what I want at the same time. How great is that? But nowhere in Scripture does it allow that. What Scripture says is your life is not your own. See, your whole life, you might as well get used to it. You're not at another church, you're at this church. Your whole life means you don't get to do what you want. You don't get to live where you want. You don't get to do what you want. You don't get to live in the money that you want. You don't get to make decisions that you want. Oh, look, there's a job that's going to pay me $1 million. Wow, they called me. And God, if I go, I will give you $900,000, $800,000, $200,000. To the gospel. Man, that is awesome. God says no. But it's right next door to my mom. It's a job that I love. And it's the blessings of God. And God says, no. Guess what you have to do? say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But you know why most people won't say no? Because on their path of life, to get to that place where that big decision to say no was, they always did what was easy. They always made choices every day to do what seems the easiest, what seems the nicest, that seemed, you know, okay, I'll help out if I have time. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't go because I have some spiritual growth time. Well, you know, spiritual growth time can be moved. See, do you notice where Gary is this week? Do you know where Gary is right now? Do you know where Pastor Dave is right now? And Tim? You know where these men of God are right now? They're locked away in their prayer closet. No, they're out having a steak. They're eating and rubbing shoulders with friends and making fellowship. Why? Because this is the week of fun. This is the week of fellowship. This is the week of meetings. We don't spend much time on spiritual growth because that's what we do last week and the week before, right? So this can be moved. This is the most important. But it doesn't remove you from being available. And when you make your life only about doing what's convenient, guess what happens when you have to make a life-altering decision that God says, I want you to do this and everything in you because you spent your whole 10 years of relationship with ministry, with following God, only doing what's comfortable. When you got to this choice, to do what was uncomfortable seemed impossible. And that's why most people fail at that choice. But what if you made a life of not getting your way and learning to be comfortable not pleasing yourself, not just doing what was easy? What happens if you got to this life-altering decision? Which would be harder, to go the way of your flesh or to go the way of God? Because you spent your whole life learning and making decisions by what was hard, this was not difficult. It seemed comfortable and familiar. So here's what I want to encourage you, okay? To make yourself available to giving of yourself. This is what I call serving. Serving is when you give of yourself in a way that does not reward you and does not build, okay? It's not serving if it's something like where you get paid. You know, hey, I need some help doing camera tonight. Who's available? Oh, I'm paying $50 an hour. You know, most of my life, God has not paid me to serve Him. If you ask Pastor Dave to come preach at your church, you know what he'll say? I'll come. How much do you charge? Oh, nothing. See, serving God in all aspects should be charged nothing. And when you only do what's convenient, what's comfortable, what's paid, then you're setting yourself up to serve God in an unhealthy way. Is this making sense? All right. So here's what I think might work. So serving means find a place where you don't get rewarded. The best thing about serving means that you are expected to do something and be somewhere. That's serving. You know when Derek first moved here? How many know Derek? I call him Pastor Derek all the time. Call him Pastor Derek when you see him, please. He hates it, but it's exactly what he is. It's one of the best pastors I know in the world. So Pastor Derek, when he first moved here from Hawaii, he wanted to be a part of this ministry. But guess what? They couldn't afford him. So guess what he did? He volunteered. He made himself available. When they didn't pay him, he was here doing what he's doing now, what he's getting paid for. Well, I mean, he's so much more than that. He's in his calling. See, he did those things. And someone says, well, I just wish I had a relationship with some of these men of God. And look how Derek's in there or so-and-so's in there. It didn't come easy. It didn't come free. See, this whole idea of promotion, I'm just going to pray and seek God. Now, let me put it this way. Say you want to get married. All right, God, I'm praying for a wife. Hallelujah. I call her in. I got my 35 checklist right here. Blonde, 5'8", really pretty. I want this type of figure. Good breath. She has to have a job to help pay my bills. So you got this list of, you know, all the things you want. A good upbringing, goes to church, prays in tongues, blah, blah, blah. And then you're in conference time, and there's all these pretty girls over there. And you're sitting over here saying, yes, there they are. One of them's my wife. Hallelujah. And they're having fun, they're fellowshipping, they're talking. And you're over here going, thank you, Jesus. Look, there's such as like a, it's like hunting. Look at them all. It's like, it's not a lot of great guys. I'm sticking at them. It's Jesus' name. Yes, hallelujah. Woohoo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And a girl walks by to go to the bathroom. And you go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And you let her walk by and you don't say hi to her. You don't get to know her. You don't communicate. Guess what's going to happen? Oh, God will tell her in a dream, in a vision. Alan, that's it. She'll see my name in a poster and a dream. Mary Alan. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're trying to put responsibility on God. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to get over the insecurities, to get over the fear that's trying to keep you locked up. Well, it's the same thing with your calling, if you're called to business, if you're called to ministry, that you have to take steps that will qualify you for ministry, okay, or for your calling. So that's why serving is so important, because you make yourself, by serving, become accountable. Serving says, I'll be there. It allows you to have to be somewhere. It's so unhealthy for any young person to live their life not expected to do anything. Because as much as you love God, you have flesh on you. And when I was your age, my flesh was much louder than it is now that I'm older. And it's amazing how much you've been educated by your past, by your family, by television, by so many things about life that it can get confusing sometimes. Am I preaching okay? This is not the time for you to be by yourself to figure things out. This is the time for you to get involved, to get where you are expected. Because, you know, if you have a part of you that says, I only show up when I want to, you know, work will fire you. But if you have that part that says, I only show up when I don't get paid, when I want to, if you're paying me, I'll show up on time because I want my paycheck. I'll show up when I say so for my paycheck. But outside of my paycheck, hey, I do what I want when I want. You know, what makes you think when God tells you to do something, you're going to do it? Oh, I'll know it's Him. Then I'll do it. You have to start now. And the best way you do is find a place where you can serve, where you're not rewarded. And serving is easy when it's fun, but when it's not fun, when everyone else leaves and you're the last one there, are you still going to be there? This is the part that causes you to be promoted by God. This is the part, this serving part is the part that will cause you to face your fears, to face your insecurities, to face your laziness, to face your lack of discipline, to face those things that will disqualify you. Serving is a part of your life. This is my suggestion. Now, what if I don't go to a church? Well, some of the things that I've done is I have volunteered for things. Like, I coached my son's, last night I was coaching soccer at 6 o'clock. I preached from 2:30 till 5, and then I got in the car, put on my sweatpants and my coach shirt, and grabbed my whistle, grabbed my kid, and I took off and I coached. I coached a practice, almost put my voice out. I was like yelling at the kids so loud. I was like, oh man, I won't be able to preach in the morning. But you know what happened when I've met four men that I never met before. I have been building a relationship with men who don't know God. I am getting to share the love of God without preaching at them. Why? Because I'm outside of myself. So even if you don't have a church, find some place that you can be expected to be where it does not pay you back. It doesn't have to be a big part of your life. Listen, this is number one, number two, number three, number four. Let's do number five and I'll come back to this. Number five, I'm going to call intimacy with people. Okay? We can also call it fellowship. But I want it more than that because we can kind of sneak behind fellowship a little bit. Intimacy with people. I want fellowship to be more than just hanging out. I want it to be something where you get to know each other. See, when I put together a fellowship, a barbecue, something like that, I don't have a prayer meeting. I don't have a time of worship. That would be called a prayer meeting. I'm having a prayer meeting. Come to my house. We'll pray together. I'm having a time of worship. We'll play the piano, worship together. But fellowship is so important because it allows you to get to know each other. And what I'm afraid of for some people is that you go through your church. And this is why let me say it this way. It's dangerous for you especially because many of you come from all parts of the earth. And you don't have a local church, a local band of people that are on the same page. Is that a fair thing to say? That you're alone and you don't have someone close to you like we have here to help you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to kick you in the rear. You don't have that. So you have to develop that. And for some of you, it may have to be over the internet or over Skype with some of you, each of you. But this is a time of fellowship, meaning I want to know you. You know how silly it is if I want to know you and all you do is tell me about Scripture? How you doing? Y'all, let me tell you what God's showing me. Oh, that's nice. Oh, God's giving me a word for you. Oh, that's nice. You know, what's your name? You know? My sisters, when I was trying to get them saved, I'd harass them. Every time I came to their house, I'd be like, hey, you're going to go to hell. You need to come to church. And they started to resent me. Because what they saw when I walked in the room was I was looking at their soul, and I wasn't noticing them. And they started to resent me. See, and that's what could happen with you in the realm of what we practice here at the Prayer Center. Is you could spend so much time talking about God. I know this isn't a very spiritual meeting so far. You can spend so much time talking about God or spending time worshiping God together, you can miss out on actually knowing who your brother is. Because there's times where I have had a need of someone that I can be completely vulnerable to and completely open, who I trust, who knows my weaknesses and still loves me. I've needed that. And you can, it's tough if you walk around with this shield of, dun, 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 I am okay. Yes, I prayed 20 hours last week. I've got it together. Well, inside you're struggling. You know how important it is for you to have brothers and sisters and men and women around you who you could be open to and honest to and say, listen, you know, I have a problem. You know, I have a problem with thoughts. I have a problem with the internet. I have a problem with masturbation. I have a problem with finances. Can someone help me? See, you know how important it is for you to have someone who knows you. I don't want you to hide behind Scripture, hide behind spiritual things, hide behind the Word. These are things that are part of our life, but they're not you. You are you. And it's important that you make friends and do things to open up to each other and not just pretend. Is that a good way of putting it? Because in a lot of places where I was, I could not show weakness. It was like a pack of walls. If you show weakness, they'd eat you up. You need to find a brother and a sister and a woman and a man or someone that you can open up to, that you can fellowship with. So this is why fellowship is so important. If I went to a baseball, let's go to a baseball game. Bring your Bibles because we're going to have a Bible study between the eighth and ninth inning. Leave your Bible at home. Go have fun at the baseball game. Do the prayer meetings. Do the worship meetings. But have fellowship, too, of building and establishing friends. Now, why this is so important now is because one day you'll have a wife or a husband. And you'll have children. And that's when we switch friends for family. Okay? Where you need to spend time with your children. You know, the only reason I'm coaching soccer is so I can spend time with my son. Because I spend a lot of time away from my son in the name of serving God. I also spend a lot of time with my son. Now here's the last one. Called me time. Now, as you get married, you'll find you'll lose some of your me time. When you get children, you'll find you lose some of your me time. I still have a sliver of me time. But let's say I want to serve. Where does serving come from? Where do I take the time to serve more from if I want to serve more? Do I take it from spiritual growth time? No. This is your anchor. Your spiritual growth is the most important thing you fight for and you hold on to your whole life. Now, it can be moved. I'm praying from 9 to 12. And someone says, hey, I need help moving my bed at 10 o'clock. Can you do that? Well, do I have some me time I can give up today? I do. Oh, I'll tell you what. Instead of praying from 9 to 12, how about I pray from 8 to 11 and give up a little bit of that extra coffee time? See, I'd get calls from people. I remember when I was over the Bible college, running the Bible college students, and I always get excuses. Like, I can't make it to church on Sunday morning. I need to sleep in because I have to work till 4 in the morning on Sunday. I say, okay, well, that makes sense. What do you work Sunday night? Because we don't have church Sunday night. Oh, no, I don't work Sunday night. So what you're saying is you want to give up church time for me time. Because really, why don't you just stay up, have an extra shot of coffee, and then tomorrow night, instead of hanging out with your friends, sleep in. When I youth pastored, I had a leadership group, and one of the girls told me, she said, I can't come to church Wednesday night because I have to study for my test. I said, well, that's fair. Okay, no problem. We'll see you on Sunday. Well, church was 7 till 9, and then we went out to eat. A bunch of us went out to the restaurant, and we walked into the restaurant. There she was at 9 o'clock eating with her boyfriend. I said, I thought you had study. Oh, I did. I studied from 7 to 9. See, she didn't want to give up her boyfriend time. She wanted to give up her church time. Your spiritual growth is the anchor of your life, but it is not the excuse to be removed from any of these things. These are things that I think every person needs to have in their life every day. And if you simply do these things every week, every day, guess what happens? One day you wake up and God is blessing you. One day you wake up and you're in your calling. One day, it's not, you don't strive for your calling. You don't strive. You just do this every day. And one day you wake up and you're like, wow, look what God's given to me. Because I've been faithful to do these things. I wasn't disqualified because when it was hard to show up and be available, I was there. So when God asked me to do something hard, I did it because it was normal for me not to get my way. That little voice that says, I'm not available. I'm only available when it's comfortable. That's your flesh. And that flesh will speak to you the rest of your life unless you kill it. How do you kill it? I used to think when I prayed in tongues, that my tongue would go around and just slap everything out of the way. You know, like I didn't have to worry about anything. I didn't have to conquer anything. I didn't have to move anything. I just pray in tongues. One day, I just wake up and everything will be perfect. Wow, I don't have to make a hard decision. I don't have to. But praying in tongues does not set you free. Praying in tongues, because you're already set free. Praying in tongues gets you to the place where you are able to kill the thing that's stopping you. But you still have to deal with it. So anything that changes in your life comes from your me time, not from your spiritual growth time. Now, I've worked since I've been, my first job, I was 13 years old. I've worked lots of jobs. My first job was at a restaurant. I was a dishwasher on weekends. Filipino Village, it was called. They paid me tips, and I got all the egg rolls I could eat. And work is part of your life. But there was a day when I was 35 years old when God told me to stop working. Okay? Working to pay my bills. When I was 35 years old. And that's when I started my own personal ministry. And I thought I'd just travel and preach. Oh, that's great. I've been preaching. I'll travel and preach. And God will take care of me. My wife was pregnant. And after I resigned from the position I held in ministry to go into this full-time ministry and no longer was receiving a paycheck, God spoke to me and said, now that you resigned, I'm also going to tell you I don't want you to travel and preach. I said, well, how am I going to pay my bills? He said that was his problem. My job was to sit and pray and get to know him. For 2 years, we lived on $125 a month for our grocery budget. Our one vehicle was lit up with engine lights, brake lights, Christmas lights, had dents in it, broken down. We shared the vehicle. I would drive here in the morning and drive back. And our kids were so young, they didn't go to school, so it was fine. We didn't get vacations. We didn't get restaurants. I didn't even know there was restaurants for 2 years. You know, we were learning to become and becoming what God told us it was time to be. It was difficult, but I'm so thankful I did it. But here's the thing. Before that, I spent 13 years doing this, serving in places I did not like, and I did this, spiritual growth, and I did this, working, and I did this, learning from others. I didn't do much of this. Except I did get married, so I did okay. You do not have the right, if I can say it this way, to pull yourself out of any of these things. Your life is not your own. It's not your right to say, I'm going to work less than, you know, say, I'm talking about you set a standard that, to pay your bills, not. You know, if you're married, you got to work more. Got it? Okay. You know, some guy says, you work enough to pay your bills, support your family. You decide to get married, now you support your wife. Okay, you don't live off your wife, you support your wife. When I got kids, I made kids. I made children. When I made children, I said, kids, Your dad will be in your life until you're 18. I'll make sure you eat and you have a dad in your life. Because that was what I made. If you don't want that, don't get married. Then you're okay. You don't have to worry about it. But if you want to get married, you now are responsible, young man, to W-O-R-K. But you can't take from work for spiritual growth because you got to pay your bills. You got to eat. Your wife has to eat. You can't. You're not supposed to take from your growth, your spiritual learning from others, your education or your church, if you have a good church, to work more or fellowship. You take away from your me time. This is where you get your extra time, from your me time. You don't need much me time. Because this is where I find most young people are at. Let me show you what I think most people are at. Now, I'm not talking about the Baptist church. I'm talking about you guys. You're usually working okay. Your spiritual growth, I hope, is okay. Your education is probably more than when I got allotted for you, I'm sure. Serving, I find, usually in prayer center with kids, is a little tiny little thing. Fellowship's okay, but I find that a lot of you have a lot of me time. You know, I've done my prayer time, put my hours in. When I went to school, you got a lot of me time. You don't need me time. You need to get used to not having a lot of me time. So what I want to ask you to do is, if you're low on your serving, to take some of that me time and fill up that serving a little bit. Find something, an area to give of yourself where you don't get rewarded. Because this is where it's dangerous. If your view of ministry is when you get rewarded, you'll never be a servant to the people. How many have been in services when you know the preacher's after your money? I mean, you just know. He's not saying it. You just know that. What are you doing? I'm just waiting for him to take up the offering. I mean, I've been in so many services, I can tell. They're preaching away, and they make a comment about finances. I thought, oh, I can tell my wife. I was like, the offering will be in 10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5. There it comes. 4, 3, 2. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me it's time to receive an offering. You know, I've been to lots of those services. You know how many ministers? I was with a man. He said he was with his fiance, and they were having a hard time. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're loving yourself through your fiance." And to me, that was so profound. Because that's where most ministers around the world are. They love you, but really they're loving you to get something from you. And a lot of times it's not money. Sometimes it's just to be looked up to satisfy something inside of them. They're motivated to do something because they're getting something out of it. Serving God means you do it because He asks you to do it, not because you get something out of it. In your whole life, I'm not talking to young people who I expect to go out and party tonight. I'm not talking to young people who I expect to be nice people, and we got enough people being nice Christians. You are here because I believe you got enough in you to follow God to the end of your race. I can't tell you how many times I've been with Pastor Dave and we've had to do things we didn't like. When he was so tired, I remember being out to eat with the people, because after service they take you out to eat, and I watch Pastor Dave so tired, almost falling asleep, but being so humble to sit there because they asked him to. They're in this conference. I preached, and here is Pastor Bronk, who I love, Pastor Jim Martin, who I respect, Gary Carpenter. Come on, Dave Roberson sitting there while I'm preaching? How humble are they to put up with me? Seriously, you know, hey, kids, sit down. Let the adults take over here. let me fix what you just, let me fix this a little bit here. He didn't mean this. You know? How humble a man are they to sit there? Do you understand? They could be doing 1,000 things. Gary Carpenter has been preaching here at this church for years, and he's not on staff. What kind of man does that? What kind of man like Gary Carpenter, who can travel and preach and make a great living, is living in a little house with his wife because God told him to stay here? That's a man of God. But it's not a man of God in the spiritual sense. It's a man of God in the character sense. When I was 18 years old, I prayed for a guy, and his deaf ear opened up. When I was 19, I was on full-time ministry. In 1920, 21, I had the biggest youth group in Canada. I had one of the largest churches in Canada. And I was so frustrated because people respected me because of the anointing. But they didn't respect me because of character. Because I didn't have much character. Character has to be earned. Respect has to be earned. And it's not earned because you hear God. It's not earned because you're nice. It's earned because you help people, you love people, you sacrifice. So these are the five things that I believe every one of us should live by. I still live by these five things. My work has become connected with my spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Because I'm now a full-time preacher. I get more time to pray. But who has a right to tell you to stop working? Who? Only God. It's not your life to say, I'm going to quit working and pray more. Some guy with a wife and two kids says, hallelujah, I'm going to pray and I'm going to sacrifice my time and pray. But what they're sacrificing is their family time and not their me time. I had one young man say, I want to pray from 6 to 8 every night because I got to work and everything else. I said, no, you don't. Why are you praying from 6 to 8? That's your family time. You got a wife and kids. You need to pray from 5 to 8 in the morning is what you need to do, sacrifice your sleep time. Because many people hide behind, I'm praying, I'm fasting, and they steal from the wrong place. If you're really serious about it, it's your me time that suffers only. You can do these things. You can find a place to serve. Yes, you can. I don't have a church. Go feed some poor people. Well, that's works. Yeah, it's work, but it's only works if you're trying to get something out of it. It's only works if you're trying to please God to give you something. It's not works if you're doing it just to help people. That's called ministry. Ministry is only ministry when it changes someone else's life. And you don't have to be a preacher to be a minister. You can start right now today by serving. I was in Brazil and I was trying to share how we're all called and the importance that everyone has. I said, I'm the preacher, and I had a translator with me speaking English into Portuguese. So she's telling them Portuguese. And I said, you know, even tonight, here I am preaching with my Portuguese interpreter. She is more important than I am. They all looked at me funny. Who's she? She's just an interpreter. You're the preacher. You're the anointed man of God. I said, oh, no, watch. I said, don't interpret. And I began to talk to him, and they all looked at me because they couldn't understand me. She's more important than I am. She was serving like me. You all have a place. These are the five things. Now, God could rearrange these. A young man who says, I'm going to go into prayer, and they tell their wife, I'm leaving you for 30 days. And you're my kids, so I can go pray. And then it sounds justified because I'm going to build my spiritual growth. Then the checks come in, or the bills come in, and more bills come in. And now they spend the next 5 years fixing the damage to their family because they thought it was justified to take from work and responsibility to go pray. Where do you take your time from? Your me time. If you do these five things, God can rearrange them anytime. Let Him rearrange them, but let Him be the one who rearranges. Because when God took me out of work, I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I thought I was going to lose everything. My family did not suffer. We're still, He paid my bills. But He's the one who told me. Pastor Dave had a vision Remember the vision of the woman preacher that came out and said, one of you must have missed their call. And Pastor Dave was sitting there all by himself. See, that was God telling Pastor Dave, it's time for you to quit your work. If God tells you to, guess what? He'll take care of you. If you do these five things every day, just get up, go to work, spiritual growth, education, that could be through church or learning, find a place to serve somewhere, fellowship, make friends, honest friends, real friends. There's times when I was in running the Bible college, I got really busy. I won't tell you how busy it became with everything I was doing. But I would start to sleep in my prayer time. Because I'd pray from 6 to 8:30 every morning, and then I'd run the school and have extra prayer time in. But I started sleeping because I wasn't getting home from my duties till midnight, 12:30. And that was happening all the time. And so a friend of mine, Travis, he was a Bible college student. He came up to me, a new Bible college student, and said, I really want to know God. I said, I'll meet you at 6. So now, if I don't show up at 6, Travis is going to be there by himself. So we began to call each other at 5 in the morning. We made a deal. I'll call you at 5. You call me at 5. If you don't show up at 6, I'm going to call you a girl. I'm going to call you a sissy. And every morning for a year, we call each other 5 in the morning. We say, are you up? And if one of us made an excuse, we'd say, well, just put your, well, I won't say exactly what we said, but put your skirt on when you come in. There was days I didn't want to pray. But the only reason the only thing that kept me going was my fellowship, my friends. There were days I didn't want to come to church, but the only reason I came was because I had been committed. There was days where I didn't want to show up, but the only reason I did was because I had made a promise to do something for somebody. And then I'd want to pray again. How many have been through cycles where you don't want to pray? It's okay, you can put your hand up. See, if that's all you got hold of is, I just have spiritual growth, and you don't have friends who you're accountable to, or leaders you're accountable to, or you're not available for anything else, you got to keep that up. But you can have five different things keeping you growing in God for the rest of your life. And what will happen is every day you just do these things. You'll wake up one day and you'll watch how God will give you the things you gave up. How many people know of friends who are chasing their calling? You know, they're chasing their calling. Sure they are. Lots of people are. I mean, they're chasing their call. They're not letting God give it to them. They're trying to make it happen. They should be chasing spiritual growth is what they should be doing. Spiritual growth means I'm going to spend more time in prayer than I am doing what I'm called to, because God will tell me when I'm supposed to do what I'm called to. All right. That's my speech. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. When I was your age, I was so far behind you. It's ridiculous. You guys are so far ahead. Now, some of you may be a little more messed up than others, but you're still miles and miles ahead of where I was at your age. I promise you. I am not supposed to be doing what I'm doing today because I was so disqualified. I thank God for the times where I had someone to encourage me, someone to instruct me. I thank God for the times. Now, I didn't like it when I did it. But I thank God for the times now. Because I'm not supposed to have a pretty wife and a healthy home. My mom was married 5 times. I'm supposed to be divorced 3 times already. I'm supposed to be looking for my 4th wife right now. But I don't have to, because these are the things that brought me through everything. The one area that I've been so thankful for the last couple of years has been fellowship. Because all my fellowship before was always built around spiritual things. It was never built around friendship, getting to know each other, being at the same level, not just trying to position myself over you. See, I'm not comfortable being friends with you, so I'm going to give you a word. Hallelujah. See, why can't we just be friends? Can't we know each other? Love each other, encourage each other. That's what you're supposed to be doing with each other, is falling in love with each other, becoming friends, friends that last a lifetime. I have friends right now all over the world that I'm so blessed to have, that I didn't deserve. But I have friends now. Friends that are with me, that I'm with forever, that I'm honest with. I don't, you know, when I go home tonight, well, not tonight because my mother-in-law's in town. So, but when it's just my family, my son makes fun of me all the time. Daddy, put your shirt on. Daddy, he pokes my belly, put your shirt on. He's seven. I'm like, you're seven, shut up. You know, it's my house. I walk around my family. I walk around with my shirt off because they're my family. That's my family. I won't do it in front of you. But if you became family, I would. Right? That's family. It's not just walking the same walk. It's becoming friends. Vulnerable. That you've, not everyone, you don't tell everyone your business. But what if you have someone, a couple people who you're open to, that know your business and still like you for you? When you're picking a spouse, don't try to impress a girl. I mean, you have to impress them a little bit. But don't become someone that you're not, you know. You ever see that one video? I think it was a YouTube video. This really pretty girl walks by these old guys, and they're all talking, and their belly's hanging out. She walks by, they're all chest out, you know. Can you imagine if that's how you impress your girl? You're like, your chest is out. How you doing? Nice to meet you. Oh, you're cute. Thank you. Thank you. You're buff. Yeah, I'm buff. And then, you know, 2 months later, you're still holding your breath trying to keep her impressed because that's how you want her. How about you just relax and get to be yourself and you find someone who loves you for you? Then you wake up every day and you have someone who loves you for you. You don't have to impress them your whole life. You don't have to keep them. They like you for you. A lot of marriages in ministry fail for a lot of these reasons, but number one, because of fellowship. They're not close to their mate. Because of serving. Because one of them serves, the other one doesn't. You know, your whole life, you're going to follow God. Your whole life, you don't get to do what you want. So don't practice. Why practice that today? Why build 10 years of doing what you want for the hope that one day He'll call you to a life of not doing what you want? How about right now you start living a life? Now, here's Greg. How many of you have heard Greg preach before? All right, Greg, you take time. I know you do a lot of Skype stuff, right? You take time. Do you get paid for that? Oh, you do get paid. Well, can I? Well, all right. You pay for it. But that takes time from your family. You work a job, right? Full-time job. So here's a man who serves some of you by ministering that doesn't have to do it. I don't have to be here. I'm not getting a paycheck tonight. I'm here for one reason, because I believe in you. I love you, but more than I love you, I believe in you. I don't care if you like me tonight as much as I love you enough to tell you I believe in you. And I want to see you succeed. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you guys will be the guys up here hopefully preaching. That's the goal. Maybe me and Greg will be sitting in our chairs cheering you on. Like Dave and Greg and Gary are cheering us on. You are supposed to grow, but it doesn't just happen. Listen, I remember, I don't mean to keep talking, but I'm just going to keep talking. When I decided to, I was a week away from university. I played soccer. I had a scholarship. And I was a week away from university. I was going to be a teacher. And I found God. I really like started to find God, really serve Him. I was 18 years old. And I decided I was going to pursue ministry and intern at the church, which meant they didn't pay me money. I just served for free. And my parents came to me and said, "You don't need to do that. You need to go get a career." Now, my parents were just watching out for me. They didn't want a bum around the house, and they didn't want me to fail. And they said, "You're 1 week away. You got a scholarship. Go get university." And I said, "No, I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to volunteer at the church and intern at the church." And they said, You know, this pastor, he had a career and then he went into ministry. And this pastor, he had a career and then he went into ministry. He got, go get your career, so then when you go into ministry, you have something to fall back on. But I knew what I was supposed to do. Now my parents respect me. Now they love it. Now they show me off to everyone. But in those days, I had to make choices to follow God that didn't make sense. See, don't wait till you're too old. I mean, I was youth pastoring, and I was out, they had me sweeping the floor before every service. You know, sweeping the floor is not dirty business, it's what ministry is. Ministry is meeting the needs that need to be done, not doing what you like to do all the time. See? If I could tell you the stories of the men of God that you respect in this place, Dave Roberson, Gary Carpenter, Derek, Darren, all the staff upstairs, of the sacrifices, the heart of servitude they have, you and I would be embarrassed by how little we do for God. Don't let that pride push you around that you're only good for spiritual things. Because serving God is always spiritual. It's not just prophesying and preaching. It's feeding, it's helping, it's where the need is at. When Jesus prayed for the bread, remember, the fish and the loaves, and they multiplied and they fed the 5,000. How many baskets were left over? Someone tell me? 12. Well, that's curious, because there were also 12 disciples. Jesus prayed for the bread and the loaves and gave it to the 12 to distribute. It's all ministry. The guys who set your chairs up, the ones who will listen to this message, if they put this message, we use this message. There's people in Australia who listen to Gary Carpenter preach, to Dave Roberson preach, from Australia. In Australia. Now what if we had no Darren, no Max, no Serge up there, no one running sound, just the preacher. And the guy in Australia would never hear Dave Roberson. Thank God for every job, because the cameraman is just as important than the preacher if you can only watch it on video. Are you understanding me? Who gets all the glory? Oh, the preacher does. But the cameraman is just as important. Find a place to be involved. Don't ever take from your spiritual growth. That's your anchor. That is the core. It's what's going to produce so much change and maturity in you. But don't. It's not the only thing. Amen? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do these things every day. And one day you'll wake up and you'll be in your calling. One day you'll wake up and you'll have whatever dreams God gave you. He'll give them to you. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And that's where I'll finish. Fellowship. I missed out on fellowship for a lot of years because I hid behind ministry. I was insecure, so I hid behind my relationship with God. You know, this is so important to have friends who know you. You know, friends. The thing with friends will call you out if you're making up stories. You know, that's what good friends are for. Hey, quit being so spiritual. You know, God showed me that. No, He didn't. You know, I had one friend that was in the newspaper. He was so insecure. He was in the newspaper. Hurricane coming to Florida. It was in the newspaper. And I know he read that newspaper. And that morning he walked in and he said, I had a dream last night of a whirling wind. I said, just shut up. I had another friend, he'd come up, he'd preacher, he'd say, I was driving the church, and God popped this saying into my head. It was a good saying. He made this saying. Well, he didn't know I took the same road to church, and it was on a sign, on a church sign. So I said, hey, nice try. You need that. You need people who can call you out. You won't have that if they're all just there to love yourself through. Get friends. This is your church right here. You grew this group, get to meet this group. This group, now don't make friends with people you came with. That's so boring. You know, it's hanging on tight, you know. Make yourself get to know each other. You have such an opportunity that I wish I had when I was your age, to have people of like faith, of like heart, that you can be friends with forever. Now you've got Facebook and internet and email and, you know, all the stuff I didn't have when I was your age. You know, I don't think we had email started when I was your age. I think we didn't have email. You have such an opportunity to have friends across the world that is so, so powerful. So please, the rest of this week, get to know each other. Really, just get to have coffee together, go out to eat together. You don't need to spend a lot of time with adults, you know. You know, you can, but don't. Get to know each other. Enjoy each other. Amen. I didn't mean to take so long, but I'm glad I did. Is there anyone who has a question that they want to ask? There's no dumb question, but try to keep it in line with what we're talking about. Does anyone have a question? It's okay if you do. I'd be happy to try my best to answer. Yes. Yes. Okay. College is tough, all right? What I think about college is, if you know the direction, say God tells you, you know you're supposed to be a nurse. You can't show up at the hospital and say, God told me I'm a nurse. You have to be educated to be a nurse. So if God tells you a specific direction, then go get educated. Education is good if you know where you're going. But I know so many people who went to education to have a career or a degree so they get paid more, and they never get paid more. Because people don't pay you because you have a degree. They pay you if you're good at what you're doing. Right? So going to college just to go to college, in your world, I would say find direction first. You know, and I'm not trying to give you bad advice. I'm just trying to give you... Find direction first, okay? And so if you feel like you know where you're going, and college is how you get there, go to college. Yeah. Yep. Good question. Anyone else? All right, I won't make this last too long. Anyone else? 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, thank you for letting me have your time. I had initially planned to have more... just the fellowship, but I really, as we got closer to tonight, I felt really impressed that I wanted to share this with you. Because a lot of you don't have pastors to speak into your life at home. You don't, you know, hearing from the pulpit is a lot different than hearing face to face, you know. And this is stuff I only share. I don't preach this from the pulpit. This is stuff that you won't hear in any of my tapes from the pulpit, because that's not my place in a church. But if you came to my house and asked me how to be a man of God, how many have heard the speech before? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, all our guys. Yeah. You'll wake up one day, and a lot of things that you fight, you won't fight. A lot of things that you dreamed about. See, you don't have the luxury of chasing your calling. I'm supposed to be a preacher, so I'm only a preacher. We need to sweep the floor. But I'm called to preach. No, you're called to serve. So when you get to the podium, see, when I preach, it's like Tim said, we're here to serve you. I hear a lot of preachers, not here, but I hear a lot of preachers through the years who weren't there to serve me. They were there to use me to get something for themselves. See, but when you learn that serving is what life is and following God, then when you have when you're speaking, when you're ministering, when you're given $1 billion, let's say you're called to business. Do you know that you don't get any extra credit for giving $1 billion than the guy who's running camera? Do you still want to give that $1 billion? See, that's the maturity that comes with serving. Is I'm giving this billion, but I'm just serving. I'm no better than the guy who's sweeping the floor because we're meeting a need. I'm no more important than you. I'm no important than Darren or anyone. I'm here to serve you. That's what we do. The kids, the guys who brought this down. Aren't you glad you got to see this diagram? That's serving. Where's the need? The rest of your life, you're going to serve God. And it's worth it. He gives you things. You don't earn them. Everything I have, my house, my cars, God's blessed me with. I don't deserve it. I don't even know how I got them. God blesses me. This is what I do every day. And then tomorrow I wake up, and I do it again. I don't have to chase opportunity. You know, I haven't handed out cards. I haven't met preachers. Hey, you need a good preacher? You know, it's right here. Book me. I don't have to do that because God promotes me when He wants to. But He always meets my need. All right, I'm going to stop. Let me pray for you. And then it's still early. So I apologize. I should have thought to get you pizza. Next year, remind me. We'll get you extra cheese. But more important than that, I want you to fellowship. I want you, if you want to go out for coffee, if you want to go out to eat, grab someone you don't know and go make friends with them. You never go wrong making friends. Okay? Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you right now for such a group of young people who are going to change the world. They're going to stomp around this earth and carry this message of the gospel beyond Pastor Dave and Gary, beyond all of us. These are the ones that you're going to use. And the ones who couldn't make it are also the ones you're going to use to change the world. So, Father, I thank you that whatever they're facing in their life, the character flaws, the weaknesses, the lack of discipline, the confusion with being young and the struggles, you are not ashamed of them. You're not embarrassed by them. You're right with them because you love them. Father, I thank you right now that they'll never be alone the rest of their life. And tonight I ask you just to place a deposit into them of that peace, that they'll never wake up feeling abandoned or alone the rest of their life. Father, thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I can't tell you how proud we are of you, how much we love you and believe in you. Keep changing the world. I can't wait to see 10 years from now. I can't wait. 10 years from now. Can you imagine, Greg, 10 years from now? Unbelievable. Don't stop. I've been in 1,000 meetings with 1,000 preachers, and this place preaches the truth. Don't let go of the prayer center. And don't let go of each other. I expect to see lots of fun this week, lots of smile faces, lots of friends. Don't sit with your group. Mingle, mix a little bit, okay? You are dismissed. God bless you.